A new study looks at how black and grizzly bears are expanding into habitat in Idaho outside of Yellowstone National Park and how they may interact with humans. The Wildlife Conservation Society, or WCS, hopes the study will provide data to land managers who will make bear habitat decisions, especially when bears come close to people. Beckman is a conservation scientist with WCS. He says the study used four special dogs to track down where the bears have been traveling in the Centennial Mountains. Beckman told our Samantha Wright the study started in 2003 and ran for 6 years. Since then, they've been crunching the data.
When we began this study, there really wasn't any use of the Centennials by grizzly bears, and so we just wanted to document if there was some areas that could be core habitat for grizzly bears and other large carnivores as their populations increase and start to expand outside of not only Yellowstone National Park, but to the periphery of the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. There just was some questions of what would be maybe some of the key habitats and areas in that bears could potentially use. And so we ended up using for this study black bears as a proxy or a model species for grizzly bears prior to a high level of use of the region by grizzly bears.
And you used special dogs. What was their role? How did you use them to find evidence of the bears?
So we use these detection dogs that are specifically trained to locate the scat of the carnivore species that we're targeting. And so the dogs that were working in this study actually were targeting four species simultaneously. The dogs were trained to locate the scat of grizzly bears, black bears, wolves, and mountain lions all at the same time. And they're trained in techniques very similar to what drug or bomb detecting dogs or even search and rescue dogs in backcountry areas would be trained. And so once they find a scat, they alert the handlers where the scat location is. We go and collect that scat sample, and then we can send that off to the genetics lab, and they'll pull the DNA from the intestinal cells that are sloughed off when the animals defecate.
And what did you find out in the study? Where do the bears go? Where don't they go?
Yeah, the study really revealed some important areas for both black bears and grizzly bears in that part of Idaho and then southwest Montana. What we saw is that a lot of the bears, their use is pretty high in the eastern half of the Centennial Range, but in the western half, not surprisingly, because it's quite a bit more arid, it's drier over there, the use by bears declined compared to the eastern part of the study. But we also saw that when bears were moving, they were starting to kind of turn to the north and go up through different mountain ranges like the Gravelies in southwest Montana and towards the Tobacco Reach in that region. And so, again, we didn't just sample the Centennials. That was kind of the main emphasis when we began the study in the early 2000s. But as we collected data over multiple years, we expanded our search area to include some of those areas in southwest Montana.
And how do you use that information, finding out where the bears are going and where they're frequenting? How can you use that information to help the bears?
The models would allow decision makers essentially to plan on where bear expansion may occur in the future, but it also allows us to address things like coexistence. And so working with communities that may be in areas that bears have a higher probability of using in the future. And so getting kind of ahead of the curve before any conflicts begin to occur. So decision makers and people that are kind of interested in these issues can work with these communities, and the communities can work together to basically bear-proof their communities and make sure that they'll be ready for coexistence when species like grizzly bears do expand into these areas. You know, one of the things we really want to see is that science play a role in the decision process. And when people have data to actually drive conversations, that's important because then there's some solid foundation to at least make decisions from. And so, you know, it's going to be up to each community and each state as bears are potentially delisted here in the near future and fall under state management for those communities to grapple with how they're going to live with species like grizzly bears. And, you know, one of the things that's important is identifying areas where we should have grizzly bears, but also have conversations where we probably don't want grizzly bears because of either a really high probability of conflicts with humans and those kind of issues. And so having all of those discussions and centering them around data and science is really key in my view.
John Beckman is a conservation scientist with the Wildlife Conservation Society. The group's new study has been published in the Western North American Naturalist.